Hey friends, welcome to the Drivecast, daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. I want to start our time today by asking you to recall a highly specific, deeply uncomfortable feeling. I want you to think back to a time when you made a mistake. Maybe it was a significant one, maybe a failure that hurt someone you care about deeply. You owned it. You swallowed your pride, you stepped toward the person you hurt, you looked them in the eye and asked for forgiveness. And they didn't budge. Do you remember what that actually felt like? Usually there is this crushing sense of being trapped. The guilt you already feel about your mistake is suddenly magnified because the other person has essentially locked you in a prison of your own failure. They've decided to pocket away the key. You're forced into this exhausting daily cycle of managing unresolved tension. You find yourself walking on eggshells, constantly wondering if you will ever be seen as anything other than the sum total of the pain that you caused them. The shame you so desperately want to leave behind is made permanent. It is incredibly heavy to carry, the weight of someone else's active refusal to forgive. But as quickly as we can remember what it feels like to be on the receiving end of that rejection, we possess a terrifying ability to develop amnesia when we are the ones holding the key. When someone hurts us, we make endless excuses for our own grudges. We justify our coldness. We rebrand our unforgiveness as protecting our peace or setting healthy boundaries or simply demanding justice. But beneath the respectable labels, we are simply punishing someone. Now, let's take a moment to read it in. To help us frame this, we're going to look at the letter the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. If you know anything about the Corinthian church, you know they were profoundly fractured, messy mess in a community. They were dealing with infighting, lawsuits, deep moral failures. They had every reason to hold grudges against one another. But listen to the final parting instructions Paul gives this deeply flawed community in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of peace, of love, will be with you. Notice what Paul emphasizes here. He doesn't tell them to just quickly manage their personal feelings. He tells them to aim for restoration. He's pointing to the reality that unforgiveness doesn't just impact individual relationships. It deeply damages our community. Think about what happens to a family, a friend group, or a church when two people actively refuse to reconcile. A shared community, which is supposed to be a place of safety and mutual support, suddenly becomes a minefield. The safety is shattered. Invisible walls are built in the room. Other people are quietly, subtly forced to pick sides. The basic trust that holds the group together begins to crumble. When we choose not to forgive, we are making a distinct choice to elevate our own feelings of offense above the needs and the health of the community. We're saying that our right to remain angry is more important than the unity of the people around us. But there's an even deeper tragedy here. When we stubbornly refuse to forgive someone who has wronged us, we are silently suggesting to a watching world that the cross of Jesus actually lacks the power to change anything. We project a message that the radical grace we claim to have received from God is entirely useless for real, gritty human conflict. It's a way of operating that says, Jesus paid my debt entirely, but I will make absolutely sure you pay yours. We drag the old, exhausting world of retribution right into the middle of a community that was not designed to be an outpost of an entirely new way of being human. Now, I want to be incredibly clear here. Because this gets twisted so often. Aiming for restoration and living in peace is not a command to remain in an abusive, toxic, or actively dangerous environment. There are absolutely circumstances where the wisest, most necessary step is to create physical and emotional distance from someone who is doing ongoing harm. Forgiveness does not always mean immediate reconciliation, and it certainly doesn't mean pretending the harm never happened. But forgiveness does mean surrendering our right to exact revenge. It means releasing the person from the debt they owe us. It is the vulnerable, often painful work of recognizing that we are profoundly flawed people who continually need the exact same grace we are being asked to give. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this time today where you remind us that we have been forgiven as we follow you. And would that be grounds for the miraculous work of you allowing us to extend forgiveness to those around us? Maybe bring a specific relationship to mind, Lord, and help us to pursue and choose forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.